Save big money in your next painting project now at Menards. From your kitchen and bath to doors and trim and even your ceilings, Dutch Boy has the perfect finish for your painting projects. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter is a tough paint and primer that provides great scrub resistance and durability. Save big on Dutch Boy paints. Plus, view our weekly flyer on Menards.com and get your painting project started today. Save big money at
Menards. Midnight has passed, and in the stillness of these hours, the hauntings are never silent. This is Real Ghost Stories Online. After midnight.
There's a common belief that whatever lingers in the dark is drawn to grief, to instability, to the moments when a person is already fraying at the edges. People assume that if something strange is going to happen, it will arrive during a breakdown, or in the long quiet hours when you can't sleep and your thoughts start turning against you. That wasn't how it unfolded for her. In fact, nothing unusual happened during the worst stretches of her life. When she was anxious and exhausted, when her bank account hovered near empty, when relationships dissolved in the predictable, painful ways relationships sometimes do, there was no tapping at the walls, no breath at her shoulder, no sense of being observed. Those months were bleak in their own right, but they were ordinary, painfully, mercifully ordinary. It began only after things steadied. She moved into a small apartment that felt like progress. It wasn't glamorous, but it was hers. The floors were worn, but clean. The hallway was narrow, and in the mornings, the air carried the faint smell of sugar and bread from the bakery downstairs. The building had neighbors who argued occasionally and doors that closed too loudly, but nothing about it suggested danger or mystery. It felt like a place where a person could build routine. Routine was what she wanted. She painted the walls a brighter shade than she'd normally choose, hung a few framed prints, bought a secondhand table that fit exactly beneath the window. She liked the way late afternoon light settled across the floorboards. She liked knowing which floorboard creaked and which one didn't. She liked the predictability of it. The first incident happened on an unremarkable evening. She had just started a new job and was allowing herself the rare indulgence of feeling proud. She ordered takeout, poured a glass of wine, and put on a movie she'd seen before. It was the kind of night that feels earned rather than accidental. She had cleaned earlier in the day, showered, put on comfortable clothes. For once, she wasn't bracing for something to go wrong. Halfway through the film, she laughed out loud, an unguarded sound that surprised her with its volume. It wasn't forced. It wasn't polite. It came from somewhere deeper, from the part of her that hadn't been tense all day. Moments after the laughter faded, she heard something move. The sound was subtle but distinct. The scrape of wood across the floor in the direction of the window, not violent, not thrown, just shifted. It was the sound a chair makes when someone adjusts their weight. She paused the movie and looked toward the table. The chair sat where it had always sat, angled slightly inward. Nothing appeared out of place. She listened, waiting for the secondary noise that usually explains the first, pipes, footsteps above, a door closing down the hall. There was nothing. She resumed the movie, telling herself it was the building settling. Old places make sounds. Didn't have to mean anything. A few minutes later, she smiled at another line in the film, and again, almost on cue, there was a quiet knock from the hallway. It wasn't on the front door. It wasn't the solid sound of someone requesting entry. It was closer, more intimate, like fingertips testing drywall. This time she didn't pause the movie. She sat still and let it continue playing, even though she wasn't following the dialogue anymore. Her body had shifted into alertness, the small muscles in her shoulders tightening without permission. She waited for a repeat, for escalation. Nothing came. When the film ended and she moved through the apartment, turning off lights, the hallway appeared exactly as it should. The bathroom door was ajar. The bedroom light glowed softly against pale walls. The apartment felt contained and explainable. She went to bed mildly irritated with herself for being unsettled by two ambiguous sounds. The following week was uneventful, which made it easier to dismiss what had happened. She told herself she'd been tired, that her mind had been filling in gaps. She refused to let a minor anomaly become a narrative. The next shift occurred outside her home. She was out with co-workers at a small bar after work, still new enough to feel slightly self-conscious, but comfortable enough to laugh. The lighting was warm and forgiving, the windows reflecting the room back at itself in overlapping layers of glass and shadow. She found herself relaxing, even contributing to the conversation in a way that felt natural. At one point, while someone across the table told a story, her attention drifted briefly to the window beside her. In the reflection, she noticed movement behind her, something darker than the rest of the room, crossing the glass. She turned to look outside. The street was empty, no pedestrians, no passing cars casting headlight beams. The sidewalk lay still beneath the street lamp. When she turned back, the reflection showed only the table, her co-workers, and the amber wash of the bar's lights. It should have been nothing. Reflections distort, glass doubles shapes, but she couldn't ignore the timing. The movement had come just as she'd felt most at ease. She didn't mention it. A few days later, she attended a family dinner at a busy restaurant. The table was crowded with plates and overlapping conversations, the air full of clinking glasses and background noise. She was seated near the end of the table, half turned toward her aunt, smiling at something being said across from her. In the middle of laughter, she felt pressure at the back of her chair. It was subtle at first, the sense of someone standing too close behind her, then more definite, the unmistakable weight of a hand resting briefly on the top rail. She assumed it was a server maneuvering through the tight space and shifted slightly to give room. No one passed behind her. The space between her chair and the next table was empty. The pressure returned, firmer this time, just enough to confirm it hadn't been imagination. It lingered for a second and then disappeared. Her aunt continued speaking, unaware. Her cousin reached for bread. The world did not react. She kept smiling. The experience disturbed her less for its strangeness than for its precision. It had chosen a moment where reacting would cost her something. If she turned around abruptly, if she asked who was there, the attention would shift to her. The burden of explanation would land squarely on her shoulders. So, she did nothing. Later that night, standing alone in her bathroom, she replayed the sensation and found herself more unsettled by the pattern than by any single event. These interruptions did not arrive when she was anxious or exhausted. They arrived when she felt good, when she was laughing, when she felt connected, when she allowed herself to relax. It was as if something waited for her to lower her guard, not to attack, but to remind her that she could not fully inhabit the moment. She rinsed her toothbrush and turned off the light. As she stepped into the hallway, she heard a soft tap from the wall beside her bedroom door. The sound was so gentle it might have been dismissed as plumbing, except it came at shoulder height, not from beneath the floor. She stood still and listened. The apartment was quiet. She told herself she was mapping coincidence onto random noise. She told herself she was pattern-seeking because she was afraid of uncertainty. Those explanations were rational. They fit within the world, she understood. Yet as she lay in bed, staring into the dim outline of the room, she recognized a truth she didn't want to name. Whatever was happening did not feel chaotic. It felt selective. It did not intrude during her worst moments when she was already fragile. It waited until she felt stable, until she felt almost hopeful. And then it made itself known in the smallest possible way. Not enough to prove, not enough to show anyone else, just enough to ensure she would remember. And in that realization, something colder than fear began to settle into her chest. If it wasn't tied to her sadness, then it might be tied to her. And that possibility felt far more unsettling than any noise in the dark. After that night in the hallway, she tried to make herself believe she'd reached the end of it. She told herself the pattern only felt real because she was paying attention now, because once you start listening for something, you hear it everywhere. A building creaks and suddenly it becomes language. A shadow shifts and suddenly it becomes intention. So she decided to stop feeding it. She didn't do anything dramatic. She didn't sage the apartment or consult a psychic or hang charms over the doors. She just tightened her life quietly. She filled the rooms with normal noise. She kept a lamp on in the living room even when she wasn't in it. She made small routines and clung to them, washed dishes right after dinner, set the coffee maker before bed, locked the door twice because she always had. And on the surface, it worked. Days passed without incident. She began to feel embarrassed by how quickly she'd spun herself up. She started to laugh again without immediately bracing for a sound. That was when it adjusted. It stopped appearing as something she could dismiss as the building or the light. It stopped being a single noise she could blame on pipes or neighbors. Instead, it began choosing moments that pinned her in place, moments where she couldn't reasonably react, where the only safe option was to keep her face neutral and her voice steady. It happened first at work, not in a hallway where she could pretend she'd misplaced something and step away. In a meeting, with the door closed and the blinds half drawn, four people around a table and a notebook open in front of her. A supervisor was speaking about scheduling, about deadlines, about the ordinary pressure of being a functioning adult. Someone cracked a mild joke and she laughed, softly, without thinking. Under the table, something touched her ankle, a light brush as if a shoe had nudged her by accident. She kept her expression unchanged and shifted her foot back, assuming the co-worker beside her had moved. But the touch returned, not a bump this time, more like fingertips sliding along the fabric of her sock, brief, testing, almost careful. Her pen paused above the page. She forced it to continue moving, even though she wasn't absorbing what she was writing. No one else reacted. No chair scraped. No one apologized. The room's rhythm didn't change. The touch stopped as abruptly as it began, leaving behind the feeling that she'd been singled out in the most private way possible, in the most public setting possible. She didn't look under the table. She didn't check anyone's feet. She stayed composed because she had learned too well what the cost of not looking composed could be. Afterward, she sat at her desk and waited for the panic to arrive. It didn't. Instead, she felt something quieter. The realization that whatever this was could reach her anywhere and could do it with the kind of restraint that made it impossible to report? What would she say? That something touched her ankle during a scheduling meeting? That she was being bothered by a presence with good manners? The thought was almost insulting. That evening, she met a friend for coffee, someone familiar, someone easy, the kind of person who made the world feel less heavy. They talked about nothing urgent, vacations they couldn't afford, the strange way time moved faster as you got older, the small indignities of customer service. She caught herself smiling, caught herself relaxing. Her phone buzzed in her pocket. She pulled it out. Nothing, no text, no call, no notification. She set it on the table anyway, screen up, as if she could force it to behave by watching it. Her friend continued talking, unbothered. The cafe filled with the low music of other people's conversations. The phone buzzed again, a single hard pulse that didn't feel like a normal vibration. It felt like a knock against her palm, even though she wasn't holding it. She stared at the dark screen, and then from the chair beside her, empty, pushed slightly under the table, came a soft, deliberate scrape. Not loud, not sudden. Just the faint sound of the chair shifting back an inch as if someone had settled into it. Her friend didn't notice. Or if they did, they didn't react. The cafe was full of small noises, cups, chairs, laughter. The sound could vanish inside that chaos, but her body registered it instantly. Her stomach tightened, her hands went cold. She kept her eyes on her friend's face and forced herself to nod at the right moments, to smile in the right places, because this was the rule now. It wanted her quiet. It wanted her normal. When she left the cafe, she didn't look back at the chair. Walking home, she replayed it in her mind, trying to find the seam where logic could enter. A draft, uneven tile. Someone bumped it and she didn't notice. Yet she couldn't stop thinking about the timing, the way it waited for her to feel good, the way it responded to laughter as if laughter was an invitation. At home, she stood in her hallway and stared at the wall where she'd heard the tapping before. She didn't say anything out loud. She didn't challenge it. She simply stood there, listening, trying to decide whether she was in control of her own life or just borrowing it. The apartment stayed silent. She went about her routine anyway, dinner, dishes, a shower. She tried to let herself settle, tried to reclaim the night as hers. By the time she climbed into bed, her heart had slowed and her breathing felt normal again. She lay there in the dark, thinking that maybe she'd overreacted, that maybe it had all been coincidence after all. Her eyelids grew heavy. The edges of the room softened. Then from the hallway came a single tap. Not from the wall this time, from the floor. A quiet, careful sound like fingertips meeting wood. She held her breath, listening for another. Waiting for the building to creak, for pipes to groan, for anything that would make it ordinary. A second tap followed, then a pause, then a third. Slow, measured, patient. The taps didn't feel like an attempt to frighten her. They felt like a signal. Something answering back. And as she lay there perfectly still, she realized with a sinking clarity that whatever had started as an interruption was becoming a conversation. One she never agreed to have. And one it seemed determined to continue inch by inch in the exact moments she allowed herself to feel safe. Over time, she stopped trying to catch it in the act. There was a phase where she would have thrown open doors, snapped on lights, even recorded audio just to prove to herself that something existed outside her own mind. But the longer it continued, the more she understood that proof was never going to be the point. It didn't slam doors, it didn't shatter glass, it didn't leave marks she could photograph in the morning. It interrupted, and it did so with restraint. Months passed. She moved through her routines. She worked. She met friends. She kept her apartment clean and well lit. She let herself laugh again, cautiously at first, then with less calculation. She told herself she refused to shrink her life around something that refused to show itself fully. The activity never disappeared, simply adjusted to the scale of her peace. If she had a bad week, too much work, too little sleep, it stayed quiet. If she felt low or distracted, nothing happened. The apartment behaved, the world behaved. But on the rare evenings when everything aligned, when she cooked dinner without rushing, when music played softly and the air felt almost forgiving, she would sense it drawing nearer. Not visibly. Just in the pressure of the room. One night late in spring, she stood in her kitchen rinsing a mug. The windows were open. A breeze moved the curtains gently. The city outside sounded distant and harmless. She'd had a good day, a simple one, no friction, no strain. She found herself smiling at nothing in particular. From the hallway, she heard a chair shift, not loudly, not enough to startle, just enough. She turned off the faucet and stood there with the towel in her hand. The sound had come from the direction of her bedroom, where a single wooden chair sat beside the window. She knew the room well enough to picture it without looking. The chair did not move again. The apartment did not grow cold. The lights did not flicker. The silence that followed felt almost respectful. She walked to the hallway and stood at the threshold of the bedroom. The chair was where it always was. Nothing had fallen. Nothing had changed. And yet the air carried that faint, unmistakable awareness, as if someone had stepped back the moment she approached, not retreating in fear, but simply yielding space. For the first time, she didn't feel anger or panic or even humiliation. She felt recognition. It had never tried to overwhelm her. It had never escalated into chaos. It had chosen precision every time, a tap, a shift, a brush of breath, a scrape of wood. Enough to interrupt her joy, never enough to destroy it. She leaned lightly against the doorframe and spoke without raising her voice. There was no answer. No sound at all. She waited a moment longer, listening for the familiar reply, the polite knock, the subtle tap. Nothing came. Eventually, she turned off the bedroom light and walked back to the kitchen. The breeze still moved the curtains. The city still murmured beyond the glass. The night felt intact. As she dried her hands, she allowed herself to laugh softly at a thought that crossed her mind. An unguarded, real laugh. From somewhere behind her, deeper in the apartment, came a single, careful tap. Not louder than before, not closer, just present. And this time, she didn't flinch. She let the sound exist beside her happiness, not over it. Because if it had chosen to remain, measured, patient, never fully visible, then she would choose something just as deliberate. She would live, even if something somewhere in the quiet of her home insisted on answering back.
Want more real ghost stories? Then press subscribe now so you don't miss any of the multiple new ghost stories we drop for you every day. Only here at Real Ghost Stories Online.